Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Say Why to Drugs with me, Dr. Susie Gage. And finally, it's the long-awaited episode about e-cigarettes. I really hope you enjoy this one. It's maybe slightly different from previous episodes. And at the end, I go into a little bit of detail about why I think there's such a disagreement in the academic community around them. I also mention in the podcast that I'm running a scientific study investigating e-cigarettes. If you'd like to know more about this, we have an email address, which is C, as in S-E-E rather than the letter C, -SIGS-study@bristol.ac.uk. Drop us a line and we can send you more details to see if you're eligible. I'll go into a bit more detail as well after the episode, but for now, Scroobius Pip and I say why to e-cigarettes. All right, so let's talk about e-cigarettes.
Yes, because we've covered cigarettes and that was a massive one, so yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I guess I'd probably recommend going and listening to the cigarettes episode first, because we talk a little bit about nicotine in that. But in this one, we're particularly going to focus on, nicotine itself and then e-cigarettes, which are devices for allowing the inhalation of vaporized nicotine.
Yeah.
And the nicotine is usually dissolved in something called propylene glycol, which is also known as the E number E1520, which is used in quite a lot of sort of food preparation.
Okay.
And also sometimes that's dissolved in glycerine, which is a byproduct of soap making and derived from usually animal or vegetable fat.
Okay.
There are sort of various different types of e-cigarettes, and they tend to be called sort of first generation, second generation, and third generation. And the first generation ones are also known as cigalikes. So they're the ones that actually look like cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've got a little glowing, they like look like slightly bigger cigarettes.
Yeah.
With a little glowing end that when you breathe in, it glows red usually.
It seems kind of ludicrous that that's, particularly now, it's just its own thing. It seems like when you used to have them sweets that you'd have as kids that looked like cigarettes, except this is grown-ups with these pretend plastic-looking things.
So these first-generation ones weren't very good at delivering nicotine.
Right.
There's some suggestion that they might have had more sort of toxins in the vapor that they did deliver than the later generation ones. But I think this is probably just because it's easier to overheat them than it is for some of the other ones.
Right, okay.
And it's this overheating that people who vape refer to it as a dry puff. So it's really tastes disgusting and try to avoid it. But the research that's shown really high levels of toxins in e-cigarette vapor tends to be from machines vaping them in these kind of conditions, which actual humans find quite aversive.
So you're not getting the nicotine, you're just kind of in the dry puff as such, you're kind of just getting
You're sort of like
everything just, that's meant to be helping you get the nicotine.
Yeah, just
such.
Overheating the liquid and kind of a bit grim. Yeah. But most of the research that's been published to date about e-cigarettes tends to have been done on these cigalikes, these first-generation e-cigarettes, which will become sort of important when we get onto the discussion about why there's a big disagreement in academic circles about e-cigarettes.
Yeah.
So second generation e-cigarettes have a refillable tank, so where you put your liquid, your glycerine and nicotine liquid in there. And they're the ones that kind of look a bit like a sonic screwdriver for Doctor Who fans. And now there's also third generation ones, so modular devices, which have even more sort of... So in the second generation ones, you can add in your own liquid, whereas the Cigalikes tend to be like you use them till they run out and then...
You throw it away,
Well, now these third generation ones, actually you can adjust the power as well, and which can potentially change the nicotine delivery, so you can change how hot you heat the liquid, and that can change how much nicotine you get. So what do you think is the appeal of e-cigarettes?
Quite simply that it's seen as healthier than cigarettes. It's going to be fascinating to see as next generations, because they are still so new, it's going to be fascinating to see if anyone starts off on e-cigarettes. It seems to be you're coming off of cigarettes and you start e-cigarettes. I've never heard of anyone who's never had a cigarette but loves an e-cigarette. It seems like a weird one. But yeah, that seems to be the appeal, a healthier version and reducing the risk and harm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we know how dangerous cigarettes are.
Yeah.
We've known this for quite a while now, and the message is really getting through, I think, to people that sort of 2 in 3 people who use cigarettes will die prematurely from using cigarettes.
Yeah.
And we also know that it's really difficult to quit cigarettes.
Yeah.
So... if an e-cigarette can be used as a method to get off cigarettes, then this is sort of seen as quite appealing. Like, you also get a lot less of the less severe negative effects of smoking. So you don't get yellow fingers from using an e-cigarette. You don't get the sort of smoking bad breath that you get from a cigarette. The appeal is for people, as you say, who are trying to quit smoking.
Yeah.
But I think there is also a culture building up around e-cigarettes as well. So sort of a social aspect, the enjoyment as a lifestyle
choice.
The
term of vaping.
Yeah.
Vaping is a massive thing now. I mean, obviously, we're not going into that here, but it's also in the cannabis world as well. The vaping is this new
new
hip term or cool term and this whole thing. So I think, there is definitely its own culture coming up now.
Yeah, and also you say that they're most commonly used for people quitting smoking, and I think that's absolutely true, but there does seem to be a kind of, if you search on YouTube for people doing vape tricks, because the amount of vapor that you exhale after using them, you can do like tricks with them, blow big vape rings and that kind of thing. And I think that's also become sort of a side appeal of them as well, is to kind of use them in that way as
that's fascinating
show off tool, I suppose.
I mean, I love that of this long series now of educational podcasts, that we are going to have someone who, the first time they've gone and done any extra research, it's going to be to go and look at vape tricks. Just go on Instagram or YouTube and go, oh, this is good.
Yeah. Okay, so the short-term effects of e-cigarettes is the nicotine hit, really.
Yeah.
For a sort of more in-depth discussion of the effects of nicotine, I'd recommend going and listening to the cigarette episode. Yeah. I don't think we really need to repeat all of that again. But the nicotine hit that you get from an e-cigarette isn't necessarily quite as immediate as you get from smoking. Like, certainly with the first generation Cigalikes, plot a graph of sort of nicotine content.
Yeah.
For a cigarette, you get this really strong spike almost immediately, and then it dies away also very quickly. And so if you look at a person's nicotine sort of or levels throughout the day, you get these high spikes that, and then gradual increase of sort of baseline nicotine throughout the day, but interspersed with the spikes of when they smoke the actual cigarettes. Yeah. Whereas if you plotted certainly the first generation Cigalikes, you just get the very low level kind of smooth curve of a very slight increase in nicotine. So they weren't particularly satisfying to smokers. And that's why quite a lot of people who used first generation e-cigarettes didn't stick it out and went back to smoking.
Yeah.
But the e-cigs are getting better at delivering nicotine, so you're getting more of a hit. It's still not quite the same as a cigarette, but it's certainly better.
It's a fascinating one that it took so long for these to come about, because on the kind of the thing I would always hear as I was growing up of, oh, it's not the nicotine that's bad for you. It's the nicotine that's addictive, mm-hmm. and it's everything else in the cigarette that's giving you cancer and so on and so forth. And it's like, well, it's crazy that that was something that people would say all the time, was a commonly known thing, and no one went, well, let's get rid of the other bits. Let's just, if this bit's addictive, let's keep that, you know, yeah. for whatever reason, but let's remove the more dangerous bits.
It's not quite true, because we've had nicotine replacement therapy.
And patches, I think, around
certainly a good few decades now. And in fact, the sort of negative things that are said about e-cigarettes now were also said about nicotine replacement therapy when it started, the idea that it would perpetuate addiction and that kind of thing. It would actually make it harder for people to give up smoking because they were still getting the nicotine, which is the addictive thing. But I think this is also to do with what we've talked about in lots of other podcasts about method of delivery and how that changes how addictive a substance is. So with a cigarette, you get that hit almost immediately. But with nicotine replacement therapy, which tended to be absorbed through the skin or through the mouth, you didn't get the immediate hit. So it wasn't as satisfying as smoking. Which means that if you also break the kind of psychological rituals surrounding smoking and that kind of thing that can also keep the addiction, then you will slowly lose your tolerance or like your dependence on nicotine. Nicotine replacement therapy kind of had all of these, this sort of negative things said about it as well that we're now hearing about e-cigarettes. I think that's quite interesting in terms of what you said just now makes perfect sense, apart from people that really worry about the addiction aspect of it. And that if you don't break the addiction, then people will just go back to smoking.
Of course, yeah.
How true that is very, very hard to say. So in terms of the sort of longer term effects of e-cigarettes, this is where there's still a lot of debate going on at the moment because they haven't been around for long enough to really look at the long term effects. And as I mentioned, that most of the research done so far has been on e-cigarettes that weren't particularly good at delivering nicotine, which is sort of the one thing that they have to do.
Yeah, that's their one job.
So do they help people quit cigarettes? And there's mixed evidence, but I think it sort of depends on how you conduct the research. So the Cochrane Review, which is sort of the gold standard in kind of a systematic review of all the available evidence of high quality, they published a big, what's called a meta-analysis recently, where they took all the studies that have been done so far and sort of combined them all together. And that seemed to show that there's the evidence so far points to, yes, they can help people quit smoking.
Right.
But there's still not that much evidence. It's probably not the best way to quit smoking. It seems like the best way is using what's called pharmacotherapy.
Right.
So taking a drug, there's a drug called varenicline. It's also known as Champix. And that seems to be the most effective method for getting people to quit smoking and with behavioural support as well.
Yeah.
But the evidence from looking at e-cigarettes so far suggests they do seem to help people quit.
Yeah.
But another study was published, which was also a meta-analysis, which showed that e-cigarettes didn't help people quit, and in fact, they prevented people from quitting.
Right.
And the reason is that it depends on who you ask, which sounds like an obvious thing to say.
Yeah.
But if the way you design your study, if you're asking people who've sort of tried and failed to quit, then you're kind of biasing yourself against the answer.
Yeah,
what's better to do is ask people about their previous quit attempt.
Right.
If you want to, because you don't want to end up with being systematically more likely to ask people who failed to quit.
Yeah, because it didn't work, therefore it's going to...
Exactly. You sort of lose all the people who've successfully quit because you don't get to them to ask them.
So they're all off running in fields with healthy lungs and wonderful new lives.
if they're just not in the population that you're sampling from, then you sort of miss them out, and it can give you a really biased picture. And that's what a lot of researchers think has happened with this study that found that they were no help, is because they were only asking people who didn't manage to, rather than taking a representative sample and including the people who have already quit.
It's
really difficult, and there's a lot of trials going on at the moment looking into this, and hopefully we'll be able to more definitively say soon about just how effective they are. But also, e-cigarettes have been around for long enough now that we can actually see at a population level that rates of smoking went down in the UK between 2014 and 2015.
Right.
And this was at a time when a lot of the sort of more traditional stop smoking services and things were being cut. We can't say that it was definitely e-cigarettes, but the evidence points to that reduction being around the time that e-cigarettes really started increasing in popularity.
It's interesting that, again, how important the improvements are, I guess, because it was interesting to hear on the early ones that they kind of gave a bit of a rise and not much, because I remember the first time I saw, I had a mate who was smoking them. We were on a long journey somewhere and he'd be smoking his e-cigarette, and then when we'd stop, he'd have a cigarette.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, in my mind, that's not helping at all. But that makes perfect sense, because if he was never getting enough of a hit, all he's doing essentially by smoking the e-cigarette is teasing himself to then want that proper hit when he gets a chance.
But
as said, if they've improved and increased, then hopefully on the modern ones, you'd be having that. And when you get out, you wouldn't have as much of a craving for that ramped up hit.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that might be missing from these kind of studies looking at how effective they are to quit is that it's potentially different people than people who would actually go to a stop smoking service to get advice for how to quit.
Yeah.
The people using e-cigarettes might be people who wouldn't have actually even considered trying to quit otherwise.
Yeah, sure.
And yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like a no-brainer, really, that if it can help you get off cigarettes, then it's better than staying smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, of course.
The other, there's quite a few more longer-term effects. So whether e-cigarettes more long-term are going to renormalize smoking in society.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think this might have been an argument with the first generation ones where it sort of looked a bit more like smoking, but e-cigarettes look quite different to cigarettes. What you exhale, the vape, looks different to cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
So I think this is a sort of, I don't know, personally, I don't think it's enough like smoking to renormalize smoking. And I think that the advertising is slightly being monitored a bit more now in order to try and prevent sort of advertising making it sort of appeal in the same way that smoking did.
Yeah.
But it's also important to note that adverts for e-cigarettes tend to pitch them as a device to help you quit smoking, and they tend to truthfully say that they're less harmful than smoking and truthfully say that they can probably help you quit smoking.
Yeah.
So they're sort of, the e-cigarette adverts are quite anti-smoking in a way.
Yeah, completely. And it's I mean, we're talking about that if they can help you quit smoking, it's got to be better than smoking. But even if they can help you reduce the amount of cigarettes you smoke, then that's got to be a benefit as well, right? Even if it's not a stop completely. Do you know what I mean? If you smoke an e-cigarette for most of the day and then at some point you have your one cigarette, then surely even a reduction is a step in the right direction.
Well, if you when we talked about cigarettes in the cigarette episode, I mentioned that actually people who reduce their cigarettes tend to smoke more heavily to get more nicotine.
To have that harder drag.
But if you're already getting a baseline level of nicotine from your e-cigarette,
that might, in fact,
I want to do this experiment. You might have just inspired me to write my next grant.
Great.
because I think that would be something really interesting to look at, is do people who dual use actually also then smoke their cigarettes more deeply as they would do if they were just cutting down without their e-cigarette or not? And my hypothesis would be that they probably don't smoke it to the same intensity, because they've still got
the
some
baseline
nicotine.
Is there, so it's not as much of a craving.
But no, I think that's really interesting to look at.
There you go.
Interesting. I was going to say I'll write that down, and then I remembered we're recording this, so
yeah,
I don't need
fine,
to.
It's fine. It's noted.
And in fact, actually, that sort of slightly brings me on to a slightly cheeky reason for doing this particular podcast.
Yeah.
Is that
sponsored by it?
No, yeah. Well, no, I'm actually, this is a call for participants for a study that I'm running.
Right.
So one thing we know about cigarette smoking is that it has a very specific, what's called a methylation pattern. So the way that our genes are expressed in each cell depends on sort of the orientation that they are, because sometimes the strands of DNA can be sort of pressed together, which can mean that if a gene is on that bit that's sort of touching, or that the transcription aspects can't get to, then proteins on that gene might be less likely to be transcribed, and right. so might be at lower levels in the body. And what genes are sort of facing the rest of the cell compared to kind of being tucked in the middle and away from everything else,
right, okay.
is affected by something called methylation. And cigarette smokers have a really, really specific and distinct methylation profile.
Right.
So what I'm running a study trying to see whether e-cigarette users have a methylation profile that's more similar to smokers or more similar to non-smokers.
Right, yeah.
Because there's some suggestion that it's actually this methylation that's linked to risk for things like cancer. It's not known yet, but we're also trying to look at that as well.
Interesting, yeah.
But if we can sort of show that e-cigarettes are different to smoking, they might be different to non-smoking as well. It's unlikely to be completely harmless, perhaps.
Yeah.
But this might be a way of sort of getting an idea about the long-term effects of using e-cigarettes before we get to sort of that far in the future.
Yeah,
it's like, if
yeah.
it is the case that the reason we see this methylation pattern in smoking is because that's predictive of the harms of smoking,
yeah.
then if we see a different methylation pattern in e-cigarette users, that's potentially really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it sounds like a very a logical way of looking forward, rather than, as said, with anything that's new, we don't have the long-term
yeah.
data. Whereas if we can say, right, here's how your genes or cells are if you're not a smoker, mm-hmm. here's how they are if you are.
Yeah.
Therefore, we do have long-term effects of how your genes are if you are a smoker and if you're not. So you can then get a decent a look at what's ahead
yeah.
for e-cigarette smokers.
So basically, I'm being slightly cheeky in that
yeah,
I'm going to
great.
Do a slight call out to everyone listening to get in touch if you want to take part in this study. And in particular, I'm kind of looking for the unicorns of the vaping world. So these people that we've said are really rare. So
yeah.
people who've used e-cigarettes but have never smoked cigarettes.
Yeah.
Because as we said, there's a really specific methylation profile for cigarette smokers. And if we test people who use e-cigarettes who've previously smoked, then they'll still have some residue of this profile, and it'll mask any differences
right,
that there
yeah.
might be. So really we need people who've used e-cigarettes but have never smoked.
Yeah.
But then we'll also need a group of cigarette smokers and a group of people who've never done either.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put links in Acast, and at the end I'll do a sort of proper description. But if you're interested, then please get in touch, because, yeah, we are looking for quite a few people so that we can run this study. And all we'll need you to do is we'll post you out a pot, and we'll need you to spit in it and then post it back to us. It's
brilliant.
It's
That's
pretty
easy.
Straightforward. You don't need to come into the lab or anything like that. So hopefully it should be relatively easy. But yeah, that is the plug over.
I like it. It's fascinating.
But I think that's a really interesting sort of thing anyway, that even though we can't know about the long-term effects yet, potentially we can find ways to predict what they might be by comparing them to other things.
No, definitely.
So in terms of the other effects, there's also some suggestion that the vapour might be toxic to human cells. There have been studies where sort of vapour has been put over cells in a Petri dish and shown to be toxic to them. But
right.
The evidence is really mixed. It seems like it might vary by the flavours that are in e-cigarettes.
Okay.
And again, it's really important to, as well as talking about the sort of absolute risk, to think about the risk relative to the risks of cigarette smoke. So this particular study that blew vapour over these cells found that there was some cell death from the vapour, but it didn't get so widely reported that even they had to sort of abandon the one where they were blowing cigarette smoke over it, because they all died almost
right.
immediately.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, it's important to think about the harms of these, of e-cigarettes. But if you don't compare them to cigarettes, which is sort of what they're trying to replace,
yeah.
then you're sort of missing a potentially really important harm reduction thing. And this
yeah.
is something we've mentioned in another podcast as well, that like, harm reduction is important, as well as sort of, you're never going to persuade people who want to take drugs that they shouldn't take any drugs
yeah.
ever at all. A drug-free society is like not going to happen.
Yeah,
so
completely.
The best thing you can do is be as safe as possible while you get the whatever enjoyment that you want from drugs.
See, I mean, we talked about it in in the heroin episode, and it's that thing. It'd be beautiful if we could just have an all or nothing situation, but that's not the real world.
Yeah.
So the ideal situation is don't smoke cigarettes or e-cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
But that's not the world that we live in. So if we can go towards less and less and less, and then no people smoking cigarettes, and all that's left is e-cigarettes, then that's an improvement. And then we can tackle that problem next.
Yeah. And I should be clear. I think it's probably obvious from the way that I'm talking about this that we don't yet know about any potential long-term health problems from e-cigarettes. So there's a lot of things where I'm kind of caveating everything that I say and that kind of thing. But I feel quite confident to say that the chances of e-cigarettes being anywhere near as harmful as cigarettes is vanishingly small.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really unlikely.
Yeah.
But as I say, if I find out tomorrow that that's wrong, I'll record an update episode and that'll be straight up, because I'm much more interested in getting to sort of the truth than anything else.
Any correct prediction.
Yeah, exactly. So e-cigarette myths.
Yes.
Well, actually, I don't know whether to put this as a myth or not, but are e-cigarettes a gateway to smoking? There's certainly no evidence that they are yet. But yeah, it's another one where it's sort of time will tell.
I mean, and again, if they are a gateway to smoking, it's a gate that is hard to get through because of the amount of people coming the other way. I say they're far more a gateway from smoking, because again, so many people who take them are trying to get off of cigarettes.
Yeah.
So it's one of them that if it does turn out to be, it will be, again, it's the comparative element there. It's like, well, it will be guaranteed taking far more people off smoking than leading people to smoking.
Yeah, and also I think that the nicotine spike that you get isn't as strong as it is for cigarettes, so it's likely that they're not as addictive as cigarettes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know whether to say that's a myth. I'm erring towards thinking it's a myth,
but
as I say, time will tell. Okay, actual myths. E-cigarettes cause popcorn lung.
Right.
Now,
popcorn lung.
So popcorn lung is, I'm going to read this, bronchiolitis obliterans. And it's known as popcorn lung because of a case report of 8 cases of it at a popcorn factory. And the reason that it was seen at a popcorn factory potentially is because it's linked to this chemical called diacetyl. And it's... Diacetyl is a sort of buttery food flavouring. See now, popcorn factory.
Makes sense.
And it's also used as a flavouring in certain e-cigarettes. So ones that are sort of particularly nutty flavoured e-cigarettes. But the initial report that led to it being called popcorn lung actually was inconclusive about whether it was definitely the diacetyl that was causing this outbreak. And there is diacetyl in some e-cigarettes, as we mentioned.
Yep.
But what was also not mentioned when e-cigarettes cause popcorn lung is that diacetyl is found at much higher levels in cigarettes, which have not been deemed a potential cause for popcorn lung, despite causing a whole lot of other lung problems.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, it's like, okay, this potentially dangerous substance is definitely in e-cigarette liquids, but it's in much higher quantities in traditional cigarettes.
It's just unnoticed because of all the other damage that's done to lungs by regular cigarettes.
And then second myth, e-cigarettes are as dangerous or more dangerous than cigarettes. And I think I've already said that I think that this is vanishingly unlikely. But a surprisingly large amount of the population still believe that e-cigarettes are at least as harmful as cigarettes. And if you look in the US and Australia, where there's more sort of severe, or certainly the US, actually I don't know about Australia, but where there's more severe laws sort of against e-cigarettes, kind of lumping e-cigarettes directly in with cigarettes and saying that there's... In the UK, we've got quite progressive debate around e-cigarettes. Not all the academic community are in agreement, but our policies at the moment reflect the size of sort of cautious optimism towards e-cigarettes, whereas in the US and Australia, they've come down on the side of they still might be dangerous, therefore we'll put in a lot of regulation and make it difficult to get hold of them. And in the US, it's a much, much higher percentage of people believe that they are no better than smoking.
It's crazy. And again, to to clarify, in no way is it saying that there's no harm no risks, but it's saying it's hugely less than cigarettes. So, it's not to sit here and say, oh, e-cigarettes are safe.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's risks and there's harm, but
absolutely,
comparatively, it's minimal.
And I think this came out in reporting when, I think it was last year or possibly the year before, that Public Health England put out a press release, or not even a press release, a whole paper about e-cigarettes. And this included the figure that they estimated they were 95% safer than cigarettes.
Wow. Yeah.
But that's not the same as saying they're 5% harmful. This is in comparison to cigarettes.
Something
it's
that's
kind
hugely
of
harmful,
relative risk versus absolute risk. They still might be risky. In fact, they almost certainly are, because everything is.
Yeah.
But in terms of in comparison to cigarettes, potentially a lot less risky. E-cigarettes cause pneumonia.
Okay.
Now, this is a funny one. I think there's a couple of things going on here. So, first of all, I think people just think that the vapour that you exhale is sort of, because you can see it more than you can see cigarette smoke, and it's sort of, people think because it's vapour that it's like wetter, and therefore that if you're ill and you breathe out, all your ill is going to go to everyone else in e-cigarette vapour than cigarette smoke.
Right.
But I mean, I think there's a lot more nasty things in exhaled cigarettes. Well, there's definitely a lot more nasty things in exhaled cigarette smoke than there is in exhaled vapour. And certainly in the case of sort of the dangers from secondhand vape versus secondhand cigarette smoke are just incomparable.
Yeah.
The evidence suggests so far is there's hardly any nicotine in secondhand vape, and there's very little of anything else. Like, whereas in cigarette smoke, there's all sorts of really bad things, and that's why secondhand smoking is so dangerous to health.
Yeah.
Whereas it certainly doesn't look like secondhand vaping is going to be anywhere near. And the other issue, I think, that people think it might cause pneumonia is because of the liquid itself. So if you actually aspirate the liquid, so you get the liquid itself gets into your lungs, there's a type of pneumonia called lipoid pneumonia, which happens when you get this kind of liquid in your lungs.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, there's no evidence of, well, certainly if you use your e-cigarette in the correct way, there's no way that you get the actual liquid into your lungs.
Yeah,
the vapour that you inhale is not the same as the liquid.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't know about if you actually sort of got the liquid into your lungs somehow. I was going to say swallow it, but then obviously it wouldn't go into your lungs if you swallowed it.
Yeah.
But so swallowing it is a terrible idea. Nicotine is very bad if you swallow it. Don't swallow it. That should be quite obvious. The final, I've put it under myths. I don't know if it's a myth, that e-cigarettes cause house fires.
Right.
And yes, they do. If you use a bad charger on your e-cigarette, like if you use a bad charger on your mobile phone,
on your
hairdryer, or all sorts of things that you plug in can cause fires.
Yeah.
But, you know, the biggest cause of house fires is by far is cigarettes.
Of course.
Cigarettes left unattended.
Wow.
So That's not to downplay the risks. And like, if you use an e-cigarette, use the charger it came with and don't leave it plugged in longer than you need to while it's charging. Just sort of be sensible the way you would with any electronic device.
It's just a kind of an entertaining irony there that the thing that's more likely to burn a house down is, again, not only looking at all the health risks, it seems across the boards, cigarettes are trying to steal the show for the biggest risk.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so before we stop, anything else? I think something quite interesting about e-cigarettes is that there's now two medically approved e-cigarette devices.
Right.
So you can, if you go to your doctor and you want to quit smoking, you can ask to be prescribed an e-cigarette or something very similar to an e-cigarette. I guess this makes it... I was going to say it makes it slightly different to some of the other drugs that we've talked about, but actually I'm not sure that's true. I think there are other drugs that you can be prescribed amphetamines, and you can be prescribed morphine, and so actually it's not that different. And then what we could get onto, but I don't know whether it's a good idea, is that why is there such a disagreement about e-cigarettes in the academic community? And I don't know whether this is a bit sort of inside baseball or whether it's actually interesting.
It always excites me when we get onto your notes, that are handwritten rather than the typed out ones. I mean, so what's this last minute things? So yeah,
it just means I've done it on the train. That's
yeah,
all.
No, but it's good. Again, it is an odd one that, considering all the evidence, it's odd that it seems to be such a divisive thing still, and there will be all sorts of conspiracy theories or whatever else of the strength and power of the tobacco industry, which is a well-documented mm-hmm. thing through political campaigns and everything else over the years, that the tobacco industry is a hugely powerful industry. But it's not enough to kind of explain it as simply as that, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that makes me really kind of sad about it all is that everyone on both sides wants the same thing. They want to improve people's health.
Yeah.
They want to reduce cigarette smoking.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's sort of interpreting the evidence differently. And I think that the tobacco industry has a large role in it, as the tobacco industry has bought up more and more e-cigarette companies. The sort of academics have found themselves sort of unwillingly, perhaps, in relationship with the tobacco industry, where it's in the past it's just been a case of avoiding it. But if you're working with an e-cigarette company and then they get bought out by a tobacco company, it's a difficult decision then whether to sort of sever ties or carry on.
Yeah.
I think this could potentially lead to difficulties. And cigarette manufacturers, tobacco companies, are actively approaching researchers, sort of promoting their new, we've turned over a new leaf, we've got harm reduction kind of aspects to our company now, and that kind of thing. And I think this is very difficult when you see sort of exposés about the underhand tactics that have been used in the past.
And yeah.
You can't help but worry when you see the sort of the tobacco industry on trying to be on the same side as you, that there's some ulterior.
Yeah. When, as I said, when there is such a rich and exposed history of, as you said, the underhanded tactics and everything else, it's hard to believe if there's a tobacco company suddenly going, we've cleaned up our act now.
Yeah.
Here's what's good. It's like, oh.
Yeah. But then on the other side, there are researchers who have been working in tobacco control for all of their careers. And in particular, I saw an amazing talk by a guy called Professor John Britton, who's at the University of Nottingham.
Yeah.
And he was talking about snus. So are you aware of snus?
No,
it's popular in Sweden. It's a smokeless tobacco.
Okay.
And it's kind of in a little tea bag, and mm-hmm. you tuck it up under your gum. And you absorb the nicotine through your mouth.
Right.
And there was some discussion about allowing snus to be marketed in the UK sort of maybe 10 or 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was one of the people who said, oh, no, this is a terrible idea. It's another nicotine device. We don't know about its long-term effects, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was partly his role that meant you're not allowed to market it over here.
Right, yeah, yeah.
At this talk I saw him give last year, he said that's one of his biggest regrets, is that actually this thing could have been a potential harm reduction device. And he was one of the people actually involved with preventing it from being marketable.
Yeah, yeah,
and he doesn't want to make that same mistake with e-cigarettes.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the two sides. Like, everyone wants the same thing. It's just, in a lack of evidence, people have to fill in the gaps with what they think will happen. And it's just really, really create this divisive atmosphere.
Again, it makes the only option a divisiveness. If it has to be people's theories and projections, then there's going to be variation, and it can be argued either side, I guess.
Yeah. And I was quite worried about doing this episode because there is so little sort of long-term information or knowledge about long-term effects, and because the same studies are being interpreted in vastly different ways by equally well-respected academics, it's really difficult to sort of try and tread this line. So, but I thought it was an important one to talk about,
definitely.
Just to say that there's this uncertainty, and there's this sort of, there's no uncertainty that if you are smoking and you can stop smoking and use e-cigarettes, that it will be less harmful to you to use e-cigarettes than to smoke. All academics are in agreement on that.
Yeah.
It's just how effective they are and the other kind of things that e-cigarettes bring to the table, like perpetuating your addiction, renormalizing smoking, all this kind of thing that's really causing the disagreement.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Awesome.
And there we are. Thanks to Dr. Olivia Maynard and Professor Linda Bald for their helpful comments on this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it, and do get in touch if you want to. And to remind you again, we're looking for people to take part in our study. We need vapers who've never smoked, or certainly have smoked fewer than 50 cigarettes in their lifetime, smokers who've never vaped, and a group of people who've never done either. At the moment, we're only looking for people aged between 18 and 25, but this may change in the future. If you think you might be eligible, or if you just want to find out more, then drop us an email, cse-cigs-study@bristol.ac.uk. And before I go, I just wanted to mention a couple of other podcasts that I've been meaning to recommend for a while. The first is obviously Stop and Search, which is also part of the Distraction Pieces Network. And that's really interesting if you want to find out more about sort of drug laws in this country and around the world and that kind of thing. But more recently, a new podcast called What's the Crack has started. And this is a group of PhD students at King's. And they are taking stories in the press about drugs and sort of going into a bit more detail about the science behind the stories. And it's really, really worth checking out. Now, Pip and I are meeting up soon to record the next batch of podcasts, so if you've any suggestions for what you'd like us to cover, then do get in touch with me on Twitter. I'm at Sousaphone. And I'll see you next time. Bye! You've been listening to Say Why to Drugs with me, Dr. Susie Gage. The music was by Jim Murray and the artwork was by At My Name Is At. Say Why to Drugs would not have been possible without the generous support of I'm a Scientist, Get Me Out of Here, the Medical Research Council, and Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea's sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.